all the room and gifts. And man, y'all have seen a basket that big? I come in a Honda. I'm going to have to buy a Buick before I leave here. Amen. Wonderful. Then I got me a beautiful tie. I love ties. I love ties and shoes. If you ever want to give me anything, give me a tie and give me some shoes. Amen. And a beautiful tie over there, and I appreciate that. And then the great meeting. I'm telling you, preaching, you ain't going to... I don't know how... Brother Joe, we just had a little meeting at our church, and I'm telling you, we got Friday, Saturday, and then Sunday at our church, and then Monday we had the fellowship, Brother Caldwell. And then today, I'm telling you, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and today, about 5 days of preaching. And I'm telling you, I don't think I've ever heard any greater preaching in all my life, I'm telling you. So we have certainly been... What really saddens me about it is we're responsible. All we heard we're responsible for. Y'all get that a little bit. Amen. Amen. So anyway, praise the Lord. I'm glad to be here. Enjoyed great preaching today and all day long. And I wish somebody else was preaching tonight, to be honest with you, but I guess the lot fell on me, so I'll do the best I can. I want you to take your Bible, turn over the book of Genesis, if you would. Genesis, amen. I have preached this message a few times. Matter of fact, I'm not trying to build a message because it may bottom out, but I preached this message in our church some years ago. And I'll be honest with you, me personally as a pastor, other than salvation, other than getting people saved, this message has helped me as much as a pastor and going to church in my church as I believe any message I've ever preached for me personally. It may not help you tonight, amen, but it gave me a little insight on what we're doing. And I pray it'll do that for us tonight. Matter of fact, I preached it in our church, and a year or two later, I preached it again. Amen. They didn't remember it, but anyway... They come up to me the second time and said, "Oh, preacher, I ain't never heard nothing like that." Amen. Y'all ain't never had them problems, have you? Come on, y'all help me. Amen. You know, you have a evangelist come through and he'll preach a message and you don't preach it. And they'll come up and say, "Dear Lord, preacher, you ever heard him preaching like that?" And you done preached it. Anyway, praise the Lord. Genesis chapter number 2. And I'm sure some of y'all sitting here tonight maybe have heard this, but I didn't come to preach this. I'll be honest with you. I got up this morning and I was shaving and I was going to preach on Jonah tonight. And I was going to preach over there where Jonah went to Tarshish. Amen. He went on a sail. He was going to take a little cruise and he ended up in a submarine. And I was going to preach on that thought, amen. But I got up this morning and I was getting dressed, and before I left the motel, the Lord said, "No, I don't want you to preach on that. The best I know, that's what He said. I want you to preach on this tonight." So y'all bear with me, amen. And I pray it'll be a help and encouragement to us. Genesis chapter number 2. You stand up together tonight, amen. We'll read the Bible if you're physically able. If not, just remain seated, amen. Great. That was the Phillips family, right? That was the Phillips family. Was that the Phillips family singing? Man, I got a CD by y'all. I never met y'all. I was preaching over there for Brother Rupert. And we was riding down the road each summer one night. And he said, "Brother Willis, I'm going to plug this CD in. I want you to hear it." And I'm telling you, man, I'm from the low country. I ain't used to the mountains. And I'm telling you, man, over there where Brother Rupert, he was in the mountains. I got a little bit nervous. I know why they call them things hollers. Is everybody getting that? Amen. Dear God, man, I was about to holler before he got off that mountain. Amen. Amen. Then my grandchildren, I got a group of my church, they sing it. They got some of them songs off that CD. "Hello, Tokyo." Is anybody listening? And now, oh man, I'm moving on up here tonight, boy. I'm preaching and the Phillips family singing and this other family, man, I'm telling you, it's great, ain't it? I'm wound up now, I'm telling you. I hope I'm just wound up when I preach tonight. Amen. All right, let's look at this. Genesis chapter number 8. I want to read this to you. Genesis 2 verse 8. Genesis 2 verse 8. "And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there He put the man whom He had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from thence it was parted, and became into four heads. The name of the first was Pison, that is which compasseth the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold. And the gold of that land is good. There is Bedlam and the onyx stone. And the name of the second river is Gihon. And the name of it is that compasseth the whole land of Ethiopia. And the name of the third river was Hiddekel, which is that which goeth toward the east of Assyria. And the fourth river is Euphrates. And the Lord God took man and put him in the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. And the Lord God said, it's not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all the cattle, and to the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found a helpmeet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. He took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in the stead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called a woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. I want you to look back at verse 17. This will be my thought tonight. Verse 16 and 17. The Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. Verse 17. But of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. I want to use that phrase right there tonight. Thou shalt not eat of it. Now, I don't want to scare you off with the subject, but I do want you to know what I'm going to preach on. I want to preach on thou shalt not eat. I want to preach on the subject of sin. The subject of sin. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, thank you for letting us be in church tonight. Lord, all day long, God, I say again, the preaching, honestly, Lord, could not be any better than what we've heard today. Thank you for what we've been able to hear. Thank you that my heart has been spoken to. And God, you have tenderized my heart today in this service. And I praise you for it. And Lord, just for a few minutes, I pray you'd help me tonight. God, I need liberty, Lord, physically, mentally, emotionally, and above all, spiritually. Now, I pray the Word of God tonight would run and have free course, find lodging in our hearts, and be a help and a strength to us. And God, you will bless it that you might be glorified in our lives and in our churches. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Thou shalt not eat of it. Over in the New Testament, the Bible said in 1 John chapter 2, verse number 1, the Bible says that we're not to sin. You know that verse over there. The Bible talks about in 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, he said what? He said in verse 1, my little children, these things I write unto you, that you sin not. So we have an Old Testament term says, thou shalt not eat of it. And a New Testament says, thou shalt not sin. And the subject of sin in the Bible, right in the book of Genesis. Now, you and I know, and you'll have to bear with me, you're going to really have to bear with me to get into this. You and I know in the Bible that Adam and Eve, or a man and his wife, is a type of Christ in the church. We would all agree with that. Ephesians chapter number 5 points that out very plainly, that Adam and Eve, or a man and his wife, is a type of Christ in the church. I want to give you three thoughts to get into my message and then give you my message. Adam and Christ had to do several things for their bride. Adam, for his bride, had to partake because he loved his bride. His bride had fallen into sin, and therefore Adam, because he loved his bride, he partook of that sin because he loved his bride. Amen. You and I would agree that Adam partook. He was not deceived. The Bible said Adam was not deceived, but Eve was deceived. Adam willingly partook, amen, not because he was deceived, but he partook because he loved his bride, amen. I say to us tonight that Jesus willingly partook to have a bride, the church. Hey, he did not. He partook willingly, amen. He knew what he was doing when he went to Calvary, and he partook of our sin so he could have a bride called the church, amen. Hey, Adam not only partook because he loved his bride, Adam partook because there could be no fellowship. His bride had fallen into sin. And therefore, he being in a perfect state could not have fellowship with her because she was now a sinner and he wasn't. So he willingly partook of sin because there could be no fellowship. May I say, the Lord Jesus Christ, for his bride, he willingly partook, amen, but so that he could have fellowship with you and me, amen. So y'all stay with me now. I need some help now, amen. But my point is simply this. For Adam partook because he loved his bride. He was not deceived. Christ partook, amen, because he loved his bride. Adam partook because he wanted the fellowship with his bride. Christ partook because he wanted the fellowship with his bride, called the church, amen. May I say, Adam partook because it was the only way to save his bride. Amen. The only way Adam could save his bride was that he was to partake. Genesis 3:15, had Adam not partook, there could be no seed. Amen. And I say to us tonight, thank God, Jesus, amen, who was that seed, he willingly partook of our sin so that he could save his bride, amen. One of the purposes of the bride, or one of the purposes of Eve, who was the bride, was to produce children. The Bible said in Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, y'all pray for me now, it'll get better. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air. May I say that one of the purposes of Eve was to produce children. She was the bride, amen. May I say one of the purposes of the church is to produce children, amen. Hey, the Lord Jesus Christ wants to get His bride, the church, to get involved in what Brother Randy preached on this afternoon. Amen. We are, as the church, the bride of Christ, to produce children. Amen. I believe Jesus is going on in what the church does. My point is simply this on that. God is so, listen to me now, God is so limited Himself to His purpose and plan and power that He's going to work through the church. God ain't working through no club. When I got saved, I got out the club and I got in the church, amen. God ain't building a club. God ain't building no PTL club. God's building a church, amen. I'm glad I'm in a church. Hey, I want to say this now. God limited Himself, His purpose and His plan and His power. He's going to work through the church, amen. I believe that. You can have a radio ministry, but it ought to go through the church. You can support missionaries, but it ought to be go through the church. I'm telling you, God's in the church business, amen. Now, here's my simple point. What God was going to do in the world, He was going to do it through Adam and Eve. God was going to work through Adam and Eve to do what He planned to do. And Adam and Eve is the type of Christ in the church. And I'm telling you what God's going to do today, He's going to do it through the church. But listen to this. He could not do it through Adam and Eve till He dealt with their sin. And God is not going to do what He wants to do through the church till He deals with our sin. Amen. Y'all don't die on me now. Hey, so is true of the church. If we are going to be used of God, the church is going to be used of God, we have to deal with our sin. Has it ever occurred to you that the church was instituted to deal with man's sin? Get this now. This is what helped me. God instituted the church to deal with the sin of man. I don't know another organization on planet Earth that is instituted to deal with sin but the church. We have a lot of institutions today. They're dealing with the symptoms of sin. We have AA, will get you off of alcohol. And we have all kind of organizations today to deal with the symptoms of sin. But God instituted the church to deal with the source of sin. You get a man saved, he'll quit drinking. You get a man saved, he'll get off of dope. Hey, we're not dealing with symptoms, we're dealing with the source. There's not another organization on planet Earth that deals with the source of sin but the church. Amen and amen. Now listen, we should be thankful that God ordained an institution to deal with our sin. That is the church. He didn't do that for the angels. When the angels failed, God, hey, they got fixed. They were assigned to hell. But man sinned and God said, I'm going to make a way for them. He didn't do that for the angels, but He sure did it for mankind. And what did He give to help man be what he ought to be? He gave him the church, amen. Amen. Most people want a church. Most people do not want a church to deal with their main assignment. Most people are not looking for a church that deals with sin. Amen. Most people are looking for a church to make me feel comfortable. Don't tell me what I am, preacher. Just pat me on the back and tell me I'm pretty good. I'll tell you, ain't none of us no good. Amen. Now you'll find that at the church. You ain't going to find that at no other organization. God instituted the church to deal with our sin. And most people ain't looking for a church that's about the business of dealing with the main assignment of the church is to deal with our sin. Are you listening? Most people are dealing with symptoms. We're dealing with the source, Brother Robert. Thank God. You read the New Testament, I'm going to tell you, I was amazed when I started thinking, you know, practically every letter in the New Testament was written for this purpose. There was sin going on in the church. We got a New Testament primarily because God was writing letters that say, hey, this is wrong in the church. Yeah, man. I even read, I thought, man, the perfect church for the church at Philippi. I thought if there ever was ain't no perfect church, but I thought if there ever was an ideal church, and to me the church at Philippi was an ideal church, but that's what he said. Do all things without murmuring and disputing. And I said, here's a great church. I'm a little slow now from down in the low country. But I'm a little slow, but it came. I thought about this. If he told them do all things without murmuring and disputing, it must be they've been murmuring and disputing. Yeah. He said, hey, tell Sintichi and that other lady. He said, tell them to be of one mind in the Lord. You know, I'm slow now, but it dawned on me. They was having trouble. You ever got two women having trouble in the church? You got trouble. Hello, y'all help me now. Somebody help me. What are you trying to say? I'm trying to say practically every letter in the New Testament was written to deal with sin, Brother Roger. Hey, he wrote to the Romans. He said, chapter 1, the Hebrews are sinners. He said, chapter 2, you heathens are sinners. He said, in chapter 3, all humanity is sinners. And on I could go. He said, in 1 Corinthians, the next book, he said, turn him over to Satan for destruction of the flesh. He said, in 2 Corinthians, you've got to become a new creature in Christ. And I could go on and on down the line. He said, in Ephesians, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you seal. You know why he told them that? Because they was grieving him. Are y'all listening to me? And you go to practically every letter in the New Testament and it's written to deal with their sin. But we want to go to church and we don't want the preacher to say nothing about sin. Amen and amen. Amen. Y'all help me now. Amen. Oh, that's too negative. Can I tell you this? You can't worship till sin's dealt with. Can I tell you this? You can't witness till sin's dealt with. Can I say this? You can't work for God till sin is dealt with. Our sin has to be dealt with. And God gave us the church to deal with our sin. And they'll come in on Sunday morning. Hello, y'all help me now. And we got mandolins and guitars and fiddles and we got all that in our church. Amen. And boy, they'll come in and I'll see them there. Oh, man. I was going to clap. We clapped in our church. And I almost started clapping tonight and I looked around, wasn't nobody clapping. I said, we had a big old black guy and his wife started coming to our church, amen. And he come to our church. Now, we white folk down there, we don't do no clapping. And this big old black guy, he's 6'7". I don't guess you could tell him not to clap. At least I wasn't going to, amen. And our people would start singing. And man, he'd get through. He'd say, hey, he'd start clapping. Well, pretty soon he caught on to this white folk. Now, he's gone, but thank God we still clapping. Are y'all listening? So my point is simply this. God instituted the church to deal with our sin. Now, most people ain't looking for a church like that. Most people are looking for a church. They come in, the singing's great. That's where I was headed. The singing's, oh, preacher, we love this thing. And then I step up to the pulpit and mess up everything. Amen. Them smiles go to frowns. Amen. Brother Roger, I'll start preaching on somebody sinning. They want to let us sing some more. Y'all help me now. Help me now. Come on. Hey, I'm telling you, God instituted the church to deal. You know what Adam said when he sinned? Chapter 3, verse 10. He said, I was afraid. You know, they ought to come to our churches and they're sinning. Y'all help me now. I ain't talking about not being friendly. They ought to walk in the door and everybody in the church ought to shake their hand. Amen, Brother Mother. Everybody ought to make them up, but they ought not feel comfortable. I tell you, when Adam sinned, he said, I was afraid. Yeah, amen and amen. Hey, you can't get saved if you deal with sin. We have come to a day that we're trying to get people saved and they don't even know they're sinners. We got to preach against sin. You can't get a man lost. You can't get a man saved till you get him lost. We've got to preach against sin. The law was given to make man a transgressor. You didn't preaching on the law lately? No, we're telling everybody how good they are. We know the law can't save you, but the law was our schoolmaster to get us to Christ. Amen. You got to get a man lost before he gets saved. You need to get him lost. Come on down and get saved. What's he getting saved from? I was literally in a meeting down in Charleston some years ago, and a woman come to the altar. Amen. It's a big, big crusade they had down there in a tent, and I happened to be there, and a woman come to the altar, and the preacher come over. No, a lady worker came over and dealt with the lady, came to the altar, and she said, what did you come for? And she said, I don't know. She said, well, why don't you pray this prayer? And the lady said, the lady had more sense than the counselor. She said, well, I don't know what to pray. What you want? She said, just repeat after me. She said, but I don't understand. She said, well, all you got to do is repeat after me. And I was standing right there. And pretty soon the woman wouldn't repeat after her. And pretty soon the lady worker called the pastor over. And Pastor Campbell said, what's the problem? I said, I'm trying to get her to pray, but she won't pray. And he said, and he went over and he dealt with the lady. I'm telling you the truth, Brother Robert. He come over and he said, ma'am, what's the problem? She said, I don't know. I just know I need to come down here. And he said, well, ma'am, I'll tell you what. You repeat this prayer after me. She said, but I don't understand. You take them two or four more to child of hell when you do them like that. You got to get a person lost before they get saved. Are y'all listening? What are you trying to say? I'm trying to say to us tonight, hey, the Bible said that the church was put here to deal with our sin. For the church not to deal with sin is like going to a hospital that not deal with sickness. Back some years ago in our little small town we live in a little small town. We got one stoplight. Amen. It's easy when people come to town how to tell them. I mean, my wife riding around town today, and I think I heard Brother Robert say last year, this is a little small town. Dear God, man, this is a metropolis. I get lost getting over here to the church and going back. I done did it a bunch of times. Is everybody listening? And so we put up some signs in our town how to get to our church. I think it was Brian Treadway come to town one time to preach. And they blew signs. They blew signs. Got white right. He got to the church. He said, Brother Al, if you put up them signs. He said, them look like hospital signs. I said, that's what we are. We are hospital. Hallelujah. What you trying to say, Rev? I'm trying to tell you that God instituted the church. Would you go to the hospital? I was in the hospital back a few months ago as Brother Robert done. I thank y'all for praying for me. That's the only reason I'm here. And you know what? While I was in the hospital, I had some wonderful fellowship. A lot of people come to see me. A lot of telephone calls. There was a lot of friendliness in the hospital. But I wasn't in the hospital for fellowship. I wasn't in the hospital for friendliness. I was in the hospital because I was sick. I'm telling you, we come to church, thank God we can have fellowship. Thank God we can have friends. But I'm telling you, why we ought to come to church? We ought to come to church to get some help with our sickness called sin. Is everybody listening? Amen. To go to the hospital. Can you imagine going to the hospital and ain't no medicine? I tell you, I've had a couple heart attacks, about three heart attacks now, open heart surgery. And I'm going to tell you, I had kidney stones. I'd rather have four heart attacks than one kidney stone. I had a kidney stone one night. I'm telling you, I didn't know what hit me. All I know, all of a sudden, I said, oh, Mama, I'm dying. And anyway, they got me in the car and headed me to the hospital, amen. And we was in some kind of little dots and a dats and a whatever it was. And I'm telling you, I stood on my head. I laid down. I did everything you could do in that car. And I said, I got a car in front of us. Oh, I'm wound up here tonight. Now. There's a little car in front of us. I said, Mama, you got to pass him. You got to pass him. Get me to the hospital. And that thing had five gears in it. And she shoved it up and started me. What? Don't do that. Don't do that. We got to the hospital. I went in there, and that lady come in there. See, I was screaming. I mean, y'all ever had a kidney stone? I hope to God you ain't never had a kidney stone. I'd rather have four heart attacks than a kidney stone. And man, I got in there, honestly, Brother Robert, I got down on my knees, and that lady come to the office there, and to the door, and I was in the room down on my knees, and she said, are you praying? I said, yes, ma'am, I'm praying. You give me a shot, amen. I'd have never went to that hospital and had no medicine. I'm going to tell you why. Listen to me. Can you imagine going to the hospital and ain't got no nurses? Can you imagine going to the hospital and ain't no doctors? Can I say this? When they come to church, we do need a bedside manner. I'm glad, thank God, when they give me open heart surgery over there for Brother Wells. I was preaching Brother Wells. Had a heart attack that night. Right first night of the meeting. First night of the meeting. 10 minutes in the meeting. Got up and started preaching. And wham! Had a heart attack in his pulpit. Man, they had to usher me out of there and roll me out. I said, brother, embarrassing. It was embarrassing, man. They said, my wife wasn't with me. And they said, what's wrong with you, brother Willis? You got low blood sugar? You have it? I said, ain't nothing wrong with me. I think I pulled a muscle. And I think if y'all get me into my room, I'll be all right. And he had a nurse in the church who was much wiser than I was. She come over there and checked me out. She said, no, it ain't. That ain't what it is. I said, we got to get you to the hospital. And so anyway, they ended up down at the hospital. And I got over to the hospital, and the doctor come in there, and he was telling me, you having a heart attack, man. I never had a heart attack before. And he said, you having a heart attack. He said, man, we got to get you somewhere. This is a little small facility here in Newport. We got to get you to another place to get some help. And he said, where do you want to go? I said, man, I ain't from these parts. I don't know where to go. Where do you want? Where you think I ought to go? He said, well, we got Johnson City over there, and we got Knoxville down there. He said, now you have a choice of which place you want to go. And when he said Johnson City, all I knew is I knew an old mountain preacher named Dr. Clarence Stanfield. And when he said Johnson City and Knoxville sounds more important. No offense to anybody. I said, I'll tell you what, take me to Johnson City. And he said, well, we got to fly you over there. He said, you dying, man, you dying. We got to fly you over there. And he said, have you ever flown? And are you ready to fly? I said, oh, Doc, I'm telling you now, I'm ready to fly. I wasn't talking about no helicopter, amen. Are y'all listening to me? What you trying to say? I'm trying to tell you I went to the hospital because I had a problem. And I'm telling you, we ought to come to church to deal with our sin problem. God instituted the church just like a hospital deals with our sickness. God instituted the church to deal with our sin. Is everybody listening? Amen. I'll be honest with you. When I got there, he told me things I didn't like to hear. I'm glad he didn't walk in there with a rusty hacksaw and said, Mr. Willis, I'm going to do heart surgery on you, and I can't wait. I got you stretched out on that bed, and I've been waiting. I've been looking for you. Come on now, preacher. Wait a minute now, preacher. You ever had them walk in on Sunday morning and say, aha, I've been waiting on them to come. Dear God, I'm going to butcher them up this morning. Y'all, we need a bedside man. I tell you what I found out, Brother Robert. I found out this is what I found out. I found out you can preach to people if they know you care. You can preach that book to people if they know you care about them. I tell you, I go to the hospital. I tell you, sometimes the doctor will help you even when he's in a bad attitude. But it sure is good when he comes in and he's got a bedside man. Amen and amen. I'm thank God tonight. Hey, God instituted the church to deal with our sin. May I say this tonight? I want you to get this point. The main assignment of the church is to deal with our sin. That doctor told me things I didn't want to hear. He said, Mr. Willis, I'll be honest with you. I don't know all your problems. He said, what do you eat? I said, well, Doc, I got to be honest with you. Sometime when I'm going to a meeting and I got my suit on and my tie, there's a little country store out there in the middle of nowhere. And when you walk in there, they got slab bologna. And I walk back there. I say, sir, would you cut me off a slab butt that thick? And then right by there's a little hunk of cheese. Oh, y'all help me now. I said, while I'm here, would you give me a little piece of that cheese? And I'm walking back up to the counter and I walk by them honey buns. And I grab me a honey bun. Oh, y'all help me now, church. And I get up to the counter and they got Pepsi Cola. And man, I will get in my Honda. I like to ride in one accord. Yeah. And I get in my Honda and head down the road. And I got me a honey bun, Brother Harden. And a piece of cheese. And a slab of bologna. He said, you won't be doing that no more. If you're going to live. Are y'all listening? He tell, the doctor tell you things you don't want to hear. It's amazing. You'll pay him $40,000 to tell you something you don't want to hear, and you want to run the preacher off because he tells you something you need to hear. Hello, Tokyo. Is anybody listening? Amen. Amen. You know what I was reading one time about Moses over there? Can you imagine God when God told Moses, said, Moses, next Sabbath, I want you to go preach on eating pork. Listen to me now. Don't laugh at me. Get the spiritual truth. Can you imagine Moses saying, oh, God, what am I going to preach next Sabbath? Moses was a pretty negative preacher. Thou shalt not. Thou shalt not. Thou shalt not. Thou shalt not. He's a negative preacher. You probably wouldn't have stayed in his church. I think old Korah and them come over there to Moses one time and said, Moses, do you have anything positive to preach on? He said, next Sabbath, I got a positive message. And they showed up next Saturday. Old Corey, he was wanting to hear something positive. Y'all help me now, amen. And old Moses got him and said, you positively going to hell if you don't do them shall not. Hello, y'all help. Y'all laughing too much. Moses got a message said, now Moses, after you got all them thou shalt not, how about preach on this? Don't eat pork. Y'all getting this? Lord, even Moses didn't know why he was preaching. Brother Buster, can you imagine Moses got that from God and said, Lord, why would I preach that? He said, you ain't got to know why. You just preach it. It's something in that pork that I know about that you don't know about. You ever go to church sometime, the preacher preached on things, they say, wonder why he's preaching that. He might not even know why he's preaching it. Because God knew it was something in that meat. It might not kill you next week or next month or next year. But if you keep eating that pork, it's going to kill you one day. And sometimes God puts it on the preacher to preach things you don't even know why he's preaching it. Sometimes he don't even know why he's preaching it. He's preaching it because God told him. I done found this out about pastors in churches. You just have to trust the pastor. He can't explain to you everything he does. Amen. He's just got to do what God tells him. Hello. And you have to learn to trust him. And if you can't trust the pastor, you probably ain't going to stay long. Amen and amen. He can't explain every knit and tee. Amen. He can't explain everything God told him to do. He just says, hey, God told me to do this. Amen. Hello. And so he preached on pork. Amen. But I'm going to tell you what, God knew why he told him to preach on it. You know, sometimes your preacher might be preaching things you don't understand why he's telling. It might be going to save your life. Amen. Hey, sometimes you got to feel better, bad to feel better. Sometimes the doctor has to do things to you at the hospital that makes you hurt worse in order for you to get better. Y'all help me, church. I'll tell you what God told him in the garden. He said, this tree, thou shalt not eat of it. He said, I'm telling you, Adam, don't eat of that tree. Why would he tell him not to eat of that tree? Because it was going to cause sin. Amen. Now, why should we not sin? Let me give you this real quick and I'll be through. We should not sin because it will not help the place God put you. God put them in the Garden of Eden. Amen. He said, I want you to dress it and I want you to keep it. In other words, I want you to be a gardener and I want you to be a garden. I want you to guard this place. And it was the Garden of Eden. You know what Eden means? It means delight. Eden means delight. This is a place of delight. Adam, I want you to keep it and I want you to dress it. Can I say the church is a place of delight? Amen and amen. And sin robbed him of developing the place that God took him, put him. Notice this. The word dress, the word keep means to bring the purpose, to make suitable, to develop, to make it straight. And because he did not listen to what God told him, amen, sin robbed him of making that place what it ought to be. And I'm telling you, anytime you sin in the church, listen to me now, you rob yourself and you rob the church of being the place that God wants it to be. Amen and amen. I tell you what the Lord said about the church. He said, the zeal of the Lord, the zeal of thine house has eaten me up. I tell you, when the Lord went down to the temple, somebody said, man, if we preach against sin, then we'll run sinners off. I don't know. He went and cleansed the temple in John 2. And in John 3, Nicodemus got saved. Sometimes, hey, there's people come to your church, and you got to let them know they're sinners, they're lost, before they can ever get saved. I tell you, when old Nicodemus seen Jesus cleaning that temple in John chapter number 2, I tell you how it got him. He come the next night at nighttime to see in chapter number 3 what was going on. Amen and amen. Most people are going to churches today, and I'm telling you what, they're looking at their watches. Dear God, how much reckon long you reckon he's got? We started at 11 o'clock sharp. I think we would turn at 12 o'clock dull. I tell them in our church, I just tell them this now. I'm a little bit conscious of time, but I do tell them, don't put the chicken on before you come. Not unless you're going to have burnt chicken. Because I'm telling you, if the Holy Ghost starts moving, we ain't getting out till we get ready. You just can't get it done in an hour. I can't. Dear God, we sing for about an hour and then I preach. Y'all help me, amen. I'm simply saying, hey, take that place that God put you and develop that place. Make it a straight place, amen. And I tell you, if you let sin get in your life, you won't develop that place. Instead of being a place of delight, it'll be a place of disgrace. Are y'all listening to me? He told him not only to dress it, he said keep it. That might, keep it means suggest there's something trying to destroy it. I'm going to tell you what y'all need to do, Welcome Baptist Church. You need to guard this place. Right. Amen. Amen and amen. You don't believe the devil is sending somebody here to try to tear it up? You foolish. Right. You can be sure the devil wants to tear this up. Right. Amen. Man, I feel like when I get up here, man, I feel like I'm moving on up, friends. Mahogany floors, there, Lord. 49 exits and outlets. You got to get there early and learn how to get in the auditorium. Y'all help me now. Mama asked me, said, which way you going in? I said, I don't know. He just go in there. We'll find our way in. Y'all help me, man. We're moving on up, friend. Got a balcony. Got people sitting in the woo! Got people in the balcony. Amen. I'm going to go back home and tell them where I've been. Where you been, Reb? I don't know, man. They had a balcony. There's people sitting in the balcony looking down on me, man. Y'all help me. Hey, this place ought to be a place of delight. You sin, you'll mess it up. Not only should we not sin because of the place, we ought not sin and not help the people God put you with. Are you listening to me? He said what in verse 18? He said, I'm going to give you a help meet. I've looked up help means, it means one to meet the need. It'll help you become what you could not achieve without them. God put us in the garden, put him in the garden, and he gave Adam a help meet. One who helped him become what he could not become without them. I'm going to tell you what, God puts people in the church, and those people in that church are used to sharpen you. Iron sharpeneth iron, amen? And God puts us in a place with different people so that we can interact and react one to another. And by that happening, hey, we can work with the people that God put us with. You know, some people can't get along in church. They couldn't get along with nobody.
That's right.
Amen and amen. I found this to be true. I found even their faults to help you become a better Christian.
Yeah, that's good.
Amen and amen. Well, I'm looking for a church that ain't got no faults. Please don't join it. You'd be messing it up. Amen and amen. Hey, her sin caused her not to fulfill the assignment that God gave them. I'll tell you what her sin did. Her sin brought destruction to the family. I'm going to tell you, when you sin, you're going to destroy your family. You realize there's two boys, Cain and Abel, raised in the same fundamentalist home, and one turned out to be a liberal, and one turned out to be a fundamentalist. Raised in the same house. One believed in the blood and the other didn't. Y'all help me, church. Dear God, that's pretty good coming out of St. Stephen now, I'm telling you. My point is simply this. When she sinned, she destroyed her family. Hey, when you sin, you'll bring a devastating flood. When you sin, you'll bring death finally. Are y'all listening? Now, what was her sin? I like this right here, and you know where I'm heading. What was the great sin that Eve committed? She took a piece of fruit. What was the awful sin that she committed? She committed fornication. No, she took a piece of fruit. There wasn't nobody to fornicate with. Are y'all listening? One night Adam and Eve got in the bed. I'm going to tell you this tonight. We ain't laughing no more. One night Adam and Eve got in the bed and all of a sudden Eve started hitting him in the side. And he said, woman, what is wrong with you? He said, I think you're running around on me. He said, Eve, are you crazy? There ain't nobody to run around with. Got in the bed the next night. She hit him in the side again. He said, woman, what are you doing? He said, I believe you're running around on me. Next night, same thing. He said, woman, I told you there ain't nobody to run around. She said, I'm counting ribs. What was the awful sin? Get this, church. Hey, how bad you got to sin to mess up the church? She took a piece of fruit. I was going to preach on Jonah. What was Jonah's awful sin? Was he drunk? No, Jonah's awful sin was he didn't care about another nationality. Jonah wasn't drunk. Jonah's running from God because God told him, hey, he didn't go out and get drunk. He wasn't running around. He wasn't cussing. Hey, what was he doing? He just wasn't doing what God told him about reaching other people. God wrote a whole book about that. God spent a whole book to get Jonah right. Nineveh got right in about two verses. The rest of the book is about Jonah getting right. It took God long, woo! It took God longer to get Jonah right than it did Nineveh. God's dealing with a church today. It ain't the word. The trouble's not out there. The trouble's in here. God's got to get us right. Till Jonah gets right, Nineveh, they ain't going to get right. Till Jonah gets right, Nineveh ain't going to have revival. I got two messes on my heart. I figured I'd get both of them out before we get out of here. Are y'all listening? God instituted the church to deal with our sin. And until sin's dealt with, we ain't going to have revival. I'm telling you, a lot of our revival means just jubilees. I'm telling you what I'm going to start doing if I get to preach any more revivals. I done canceled every meeting I had. This is really the first time I've preached that since I've been sick. I'm going to tell you what I'm going to start doing. I probably won't have a lot of revival. I'm going to start preaching on sin. We ain't going to have revival. You can go preach revival and have jubilees and have them shut. And I know people need encouragement. I'm for all that this morning. We need all that. You see what happened when we preach it? I know that. But I'm telling you what. Our problem is we got sin in our churches. And we ain't going to have revival, Brother McAbee. We ain't going to have revival till we deal with our sin, Brother Hart. Man, they tell me the old timers used to go and preach for about a week or two on sin and then give an altar call. God instituted the church to deal with sin. Are y'all listening, church? Man, oh man, hey, I'll tell you what her sin was. She took a piece of fruit and got us all in a jam. My point is simply this. Don't sin and mess up the place God put you, mess up the people God put you with. Don't sin because there's no good purpose in it. Why sin? He did not need to sin. He had everything he needed. He had water. He had river. He had fish. He had animals. He didn't need to sin. He could have just enjoyed life. Hey, don't sin. Why? Because people think they can't survive without sinning. Amen. People aren't satisfied. You can't be satisfied just living for God. I got to get a little sin in it. You know what he told them? He said, you can have every tree in the garden except that one. Can't you hear that message? Oh, that's a negative God. Can't you hear Adam preaching that message? And we can have everything in the garden, just not that one prohibition. Then, hey, I just say hi to St. Stephen. Don't go down there to Life Baptist Church. They'll put you in bondage. Don't go down there. They think the women ought to dress like women. Hello, Tokyo. Y'all don't dry up on me now. They think the men ought to look like men, ought to cut their hair like men. Now Baptist preachers are letting their hair grow long. Amen. We've come a long way, friend. Hey, don't go down there where Brother Willis preached. Man, he's a legalist. Yeah. They don't tell about how much liberty we give them. I ain't in bondage no more. Hey, the Bible says you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you. The more the Word of God you get, the freer you get. I ain't in bondage, friend. Thank God I don't have to smoke anymore. Thank God I don't need dope. I got hope, amen. Glory to God, amen. You talk about, look like you in bondage, sir. You on dope, I'm on hope. Who's having the most fun? Hello, Tokyo. Somebody help me, amen. Don't go down there, man. They're too straight. One fella got invited to fell out of church. He said, I tell you, right now I ain't coming to your church. He said, why ain't you coming, sir? He said, y'all believe the Bible. Most people don't go to church to hear the Bible. Most people go to church to hear some little story, how good I am, pat you on the back, tell you how sweet you are. I tell you, rotten to the core. Amen. Let's get back to the singing, preacher. Amen. God supplied every need they had. Now, y'all don't read me wrong. I don't preach like this all the time. But I'm telling you, somewhere I do is preach a lot of exhortation messages. I try to encourage people. I agree with everything we said today. People need encouraging. But I'm telling you, sometimes we just got to rear back and preach on sin. I just got a young family in my church. I don't want to say too much, but a young family in my church. I mean, I grew them up like kids. They married each other. And just the other day, she got on the internet and started exposing herself in her nudity. And I prayed and prayed and prayed. You know, sometimes I used to just charge in there like a bull in a china shop. You know, when Jesus went in that temple and cleaned that temple, the Bible said he went and made a whip. Now, I thought about that. I ain't a deep thinker, but I thought about that. In other words, he didn't go down there and see and walk right in there. Yah, yah. No, the Bible said he went and made a whip. Now, you tell me. Sounds like, I don't know how long it takes to make a whip. he got straight by the time I get this whip made. They're in trouble. But he didn't just charge right in there. The Bible said he went and made a whip. I went back and read it again. It said he went and made a whip. And he said, if they ever get it right, then I won't have to use this whip. And you know, when I first started out, I said, dear God, I mean, I thought this. I thought everything's, I still believe this pretty much, but I got a little more tact now. I'm against everything. I think if it don't move, you ought to paint it. If it moves, salute it. And so sometimes I saw a little sin was going on, no big sin was going on in the church. And I went over there and started whipping me up a message. And I said, Lord, I'm going to whip this message up now. And I'm telling you, if they don't get it right by the time I whip it up, it's going to be trouble. Yo, help me now. Help me. And I've seen this, Brother Rock. I've seen sometimes God answer prayer and they'll get it right before you have to preach it. Now, the young preacher's saying, oh, the preacher's a compromiser. Yeah, I'm telling right now, Brother. I feel like Sammy Allen right now. Why ain't the preacher dealing with that? Maybe because he's praying about it. Maybe he's working on it in the office and you don't know about it. But you can believe he's a man. You can believe Brother Robert's going to deal with it. And so he's whipping it up and he's praying, oh God, please help them to get right so I don't have to preach this Sunday. And they get it right. And boy, man, I like it when it, but sometimes it don't work that way. Sometimes you have to walk to the pulpit. I walk, and we had a big weekend Sunday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And I said, "Oh God, I've been warning them from the pulpit a little bit now. You sit in this church, and I'm telling you, we're gonna deal with it now." Amen. And so we had a big weekend. I didn't want to do it. I thought if I could let the weekend get there, and they'd hear all that preaching, Brother Barry and Johnny Jones, and all them great fellas gonna come in there and preach, and Ronnie Young. I said, "Surely, and all that preaching, Brother Randy, they'll get it right." But it didn't get it right. We come down to the close of the service, and we had a bunch of visitors. And I said, "All right." I ain't trying to sound bad. I ain't big enough to be bad. But I am the pastor. You might call me the pastor. I said, I'm telling you now, I done let it go and let it go and let it go and let it go. And you've come all the way through this. And you ain't got it right. Now you send your wicked sin and put it on the internet. We're going to deal with you. And I said, I'm telling you this morning and this invitation, you need to come down here. You sin publicly. You need to get right publicly. Amen. And the husband looked over at the wife and said, we need to go. And she, they ain't going. And she snatched the stuff up and ran to church. Are y'all listening? And so I'm wondering what he's going to do. And they got a little girl. I'm telling you, we better deal with sin in our church. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. We got so much nudity and filthiness going on in our church. I'm sick of it. I'm gonna tell you what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna preach on it. Y'all can let it go if you wanna. I'm gonna preach on it. You ain't gonna walk in our church and look like you on look like a panties model.
That's right.
I'm gonna preach on it. You might not do nothing about it, but I'm gonna let you know I see what you're doing.
Amen.
I'll tell you what we're doing in the independent movement. We're turning our head. Dear God, something goes on now. You gotta turn your head. Every time they walk in, you see everything they got up there. Woo, y'all have day. Man, I tell you, it's wicked. God ain't happy with it. And we having revival. I wonder how much revival we have. We might be having people saved, but how much revival? When revival comes, sin will get killed. Oh, y'all ain't laughing now. That's all right. I didn't come to make you laugh. I tell you, we better start dealing with our sin. Amen and amen. Who do you think you are, you little short? Paul wasn't too tall. I thought this was a jubilee. It done turn into judgment. We turning our head. I'm just acting like I don't see that now. No, you better see it and preach on it. Amen. And the grown women doing, a bunch of grown women trying to look like teenagers. Dear God, I don't feel a mean streak coming up my back. Dear God, man, cover up your wrinkles. Hello, y'all help me, man. Man, I'm telling you, sometimes we need to preach. You know what I'm doing? I'm just being the doctor. Just like you go to the hospital. Amen. What are you trying to say? I'm trying to tell you, hey, if sin, don't sin because you won't live up to your potential. You know the Bible said there was to have dominion. You know what the Bible said? God has given us dominion over sin. We don't have to sin. Us Baptists, we're eternally saved. Oh, we're just eternally saved. Well, I can just go sin. No, you're supposed to have dominion on sin. Greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. I think sometimes we use that verse. We may not just apply it, but we just take it light. Well, I can sin, you know, because I'm eternally saved. Amen. Hey, if you sin, you won't live up to your potential. You mess up the place. You mess up the people you're with. You mess up God's purpose for your life. Hey, don't sin because you'll pay. When God, listen to this, I'm about through, Brother Robin. When God told Adam not to sin, you know Adam had never seen death. Adam had never seen nobody cry. Adam had never seen nobody die. Adam didn't know what judgment was. Adam didn't know what a flood was. Adam didn't know what murder was. Adam and Eve didn't know what hell was. They didn't know what abortion was. And they sinned not knowing what all the results would be. Other than God said, if you sin, you're going to die. But they never seen nobody die. But you and I have. We have seen what sin can do. Are you listening? If you sin, you go pay. You walk it in, they paid. That couple I was telling you about, I was riding up in my heart with brother. I've raised this boy and girl. I practically raised them, especially the boy. I was riding up the road coming to this meeting. Got about 35 miles from home, the phone rang. He said, "Preacher." I said, "Yeah." He said, "This is Brother so and so." I said, "I know, brother." He said, "Preacher, I want to tell you I'm sorry." He said, "My wife just started getting wild. She started dressing wrong. She started hanging around the wrong crowd." And he said, I had to make a decision." He said, "I'm telling you, preacher, I was so messed up." He said, "I was so messed up mentally and physically and emotionally and spiritually." He said, "I did some things I shouldn't have did, hoping that if I went along with a little bit, I can understand that." I said, "Brother Marcus, I love you, son. You know I love you." I said, "I'm going to tell you, you can't go along with it. It ain't going to help the matter. You got to take a stand. I ain't telling you that's going to be easy, but the only hope for your wife is to take a stand. Some of you men need to take a stand. Tell your woman to tell your wife to put on the right kind of dress." "Well, if I did that, my wife would leave me." She's probably going to leave you already if she don't like that. You better listen to what I'm telling you, friend. The playing's over now. You hear me? I'm telling you, I'm preaching my heart out to you. I'm telling you, I ain't trying to be bad. I'm trying to be loving. But I'm telling you, if that would offend her, you've already lost her.
Right.
I know what I'm talking about. I like somebody said it today. I never thought I'd get to say this. I feel like I'm still a novice, but I've been doing this now about 30 years. Brother McAbee, I've been there far down the road as you and Brother Hart. But I'm telling you, I've been down the road a little bit. I can see what's happening.
Yes.
If that'll offend your wife, you've already lost her.
That's right.
And if it's a girlfriend and she won't straighten up, that's how it happened to this boy right here. He started going with this. She wasn't right. And I couldn't tell him and he wouldn't listen. He probably thinking, "Well, if I marry, I'll straighten up." No! It got worse! Man, I go preaching places and the singers get up and grieve the Holy Ghost. If you would walk up on that platform in nudity, God, hell, I don't care if he sing like a mockingbird. Hello, y'all. Him, I can tell you, I ain't gonna get back to this jubilee. I may as well let it all rip tonight, cause y'all ain't coming back. Amen. If they say Brother Willis is on the flyer, let's go to that other meeting. Amen. Amen, Brother Claude. Man, you ought to have enough respect for God and the house of God and the man of God to do right. We ain't gonna have no revival with sin abounding in our dirt. We come to be entertained. Brother Robert, I'm sorry. I'm telling you, man, I've been to meetings and they'll say, "Well, so-and-so's going to sing tonight." Man, the power of God will be there, Brother Robert. And when they walked up on the platform, I said, "Ain't going to be no power in this." Yeah, we got amused and we got entertained, but it wasn't no power of God. Hey, I've heard men could preach the house down, but we found out they was living in adultery. I tell you, it ain't what you do. It ain't how you preach. It ain't how you sing. It ain't how you do things you do. I tell you what, God used a jackass to preach.
That's right.
Hello, Tokyo. Is anybody listening out there? In the independent Baptist movement, Dear God, I remember when I got saved in the Pentecostal church. I know I'm saved. Now, you only got a... I know I'm saved. One fellow said I wasn't saved. I was preaching one night and I got saved in the Pentecostal church, and the preacher friend of mine was sitting by this young preacher, and I said, I got saved in a Pentecostal movie. He slammed his Bible shut and said, he ain't saved. And the preacher said, are you crazy? I got saved in the Pentecostal meeting now, and then I was raised in a Southern Baptist church, and I'm telling you, I started going to the independent Baptist church. I know I'm preaching too long, but anyway, my heart's lasting, so y'all better enjoy it. Amen. And I started going to independent Baptist church. I mean, one of the old, about 35 years ago when we preached. Are y'all listening? And I think I had a couple of hair. I had hair back then. I think I had a couple of hairs touching my hair. And when they got through, I felt like I was one of the Beatles. Now, man, you wouldn't have done it. You wouldn't have, back 35 years ago, you wouldn't have walked in an independent Baptist church and showed your flesh, much less go on the platform. Not unless you're some harlot. We want sinners there. I don't care if they polka dot bring sinners. I don't care if they're purple, green, don't matter. Don't matter what color hair is. I just want all them sinners to come. And dear God, I live in a town full of them. Redneck, friend. Brother Roger, he's raised up there. Matter of fact, he used to be one of them. Till God got a hold of him. And he don't mind if I say it. Brother Roger don't mind if I say it. I got to quit, man. Y'all got me so wound up tonight, I don't know where I am. Amen. But I'm trying to tell you this tonight. I'm trying to tell you, the church got to deal with sin. Brother Kevin, the church got to deal with sin. I ain't got to tell Brother Kevin that. He deals with it. Are you listening? Well, preacher, what are we going to do about the crowd? My job ain't to fill the pew. My job is to fill the pulpit. Now I'm going to have a bedside manner. Preacher, you ain't doing too good tonight. I'm doing the best I can. I'm just simply saying, if you don't sin, you're going to pay. They paid. If you don't get sin, you could get put. If you don't deal with sin, you could get put out. You know what God did? Come on now. God put them out the garden. Now get this, Brother Holcomb. He'd already covered them with coats. The grace of God covered their sin, but the government of God put them out.
Yeah, man, Brother Willis.
Yeah. You can sin so bad that you can get put out. I know preachers that have got in sin, hello Tokyo, and they sinned so bad they got forgiveness, but they got put out of the office.
That's right.
But there's some of them still trying to preach.
That's right.
And ain't that God won't forgive? Forgiveness is never a question. When a man, that brother called me up on the phone weeping and crying at that preacher, I'm sorry, I just got caught up, I thought I made bad, I'd sin, I'm not minimizing my sin, I sinned, I did wrong, I'm sorry. I said, brother, that's all you got to say. I forgive you and God will forgive you.
Right.
But you can sin so bad you get put out. Adam and Eve got put out. And they got put out so bad, God put a flaming torch, they couldn't come back in. He didn't say he couldn't get forgiveness. Oh, but I'm sure glad I can tell you this. I'm through. Thank God for their sin. And I use this word for outline's sake. Thank God when you sin, there's a pardon. You can get a pardon. Now, we get more than a pardon. But for outline's sake, y'all got that right. I ain't got to be that technical, do I? Hey, thank God I'm glad I can go home tonight without and say that. I'm glad I don't have to leave without telling you this. When you sin, you can get a pardon. Well, what are you saying? Well, they got coats of skins. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, we get cleansing from sin. What? The Bible said if we confess our sin, the Bible said if we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The Bible said if we'll confess it, that means we'll agree with God. Confess means to agree with God. I'll tell you what it really means. I looked it up and said, mean get on God's side. You got to get on God's side that you're wrong. And if you ever get on God's side and admit you're wrong, I'll tell you what, you'll get forgiveness. Amen and amen. Now, I'm through. Hey, I'm glad, thank God, tonight. You say, preacher, I'm guilty. Thank God all you got to do is hit an old-fashioned altar. Just like you got saved, just come tonight and plead the blood of Jesus. Say, God, I'm sorry. And I confess and I agree. Well, I agree I'm wrong and you're right. And God will cleanse your sin. Could I say this tonight? You know where the curse started? It started at a tree. Could I tell you where the cure come? It come in a tree. Thank God. Hey, we need to tell the world, thank God, there's a pardon for our sin. Amen. You know what I found out? Satan will entice you to the first tree, but he'll try to keep you from the second tree. Amen and amen. I found this to be true. The more you're around each tree, the more you understand good and evil. Are you listening? I read this. I don't know if it's a true story, but I read it. I thought it was a wonderful illustration. It said there was a brush fire out on the prairie. And it said two men was out on the prairie, and the brush fire was coming at them. And they said, man, I heard it on the prairie. It said, them things travel 90 miles an hour. We got to run. And they turned around, and they started running. And they looked back. Man, it was gaining on. And they started run. And they looked back, and it was gaining. And he said, do you have any matches? He said, what? He said, you got any matches? He said, man, all that fire, why do you want matches? He said, shut up. Do you have any matches? He said, yeah, I got some magic. Handed some magic. Took the magic. And he started the fire right there. And that fire right there burned off of that fire by day. And he stepped over on this side. And the fire had burned this side. That fire would never come where it's already burned. Thank God about 2,000 years ago. Thank God on Calvary. The judgment of God fell on Jesus. So it will never fall on me. Amen and amen. Are y'all listening tonight? I'm trying to tell you tonight, listen, thank God. Hey, are you guilty? Maybe you got a bad attitude. I've been to church, and I'm telling you now, I don't promote smoking. Matter of fact, I preach against it. But I have seen people that smoke with better attitudes than some that don't. A bad attitude will foul up a service. Maybe your sin is a bad attitude. Maybe your sin is some bad attire. You know I preach tonight, and you know you're guilty. Won't you come tonight and get it right and say, God, I'm dressed like a Christian. Amen. When people look at me, I don't want them to think that I'm part of the world. Amen. Amen. Hey, maybe your sin's some bad actions. Maybe your sin is I'm having an affair. Maybe your sin is you've been absent when you shouldn't have been. I close my message, and I tell you this. Had a man in my church years ago. He came out of Charleston. He was in the First Independent Baptist Church in Charleston. His name is Brother Dunn. And he was down there with Hobson, Brother Hobson Wolf, First Independent Baptist Church ever been in Charleston. Well, he got moved out in the country. Him and his wife started coming to our church. And they come. And he was a deacon down there, a Sunday school teacher. And all in off, all working in the church. And when he got to our church, I noticed he would only come on Sunday morning, Brother Hogan. And they would come faithfully on Sunday morning. And then they'd leave, shake my hand at the back door. And they come for years like that, years. And I preach, you ought to come Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. That's what I believe. I don't even think nobody ought to have to tell you that. But anyway, but every day, every Sunday, he would go out. And I knew he was kidding. And I cut a lot of fool myself. But he would come out and he'd say, oh, preacher, we told him this morning, didn't we? And I knew he was cutting fool. And he said, oh, we let him have it this morning, didn't we? I said, oh, yeah, Doc, we let him have it. And he'd come, practically every Sunday he would come. He would say, oh, we let him have it this morning, didn't we, Red? I said, oh, we put it on. And then so he kept doing that. Yeah, I let him do that for years. One Sunday he come through, I about had enough of it. God had done took his wife. God had done killed his daughter. God had done messed up some of his grandchildren. I believe that. Mama, know I'm telling the truth. And none of that judgment straightened him out, chastened him. He come out one Sunday morning. He said, oh, preacher, we let him have it today, didn't we? And I said, yeah, we let him have it. I said, can I talk to you after church? He said, yeah. So everybody cleared out, and we went in the room. I said, brother, I want to ask you something, Brother Dunn. I said, I know you're cutting fool. I said, but man, you come to church Sunday morning. God has done took your wife, your daughter's died, your grandchildren are messed up and in sin. I said, Brother Dunn, it ever occurred to you that your absence from church may be bringing some of this in your life? Y'all don't get quiet on me now. He said, well, I reckon so, preacher. I said, Brother Dunn, I'm telling you now, man, you need to get in church. You don't live far from the church. You need to be in church Sunday morning. I said, are you coming back tonight? He hung his head. I said, no, you ain't planning on coming back tonight. I said, Brother Dunn, I'm telling you that God's going to deal with you. And I say that to you in love. I'm telling you, I am trying to keep the chastened hand of God. God's going to deal with you. You think you can just flippantly pop in church and pop out? God's going to deal with you. It's what I believe, Brother Buster. I know, preacher. I said, so are you coming back tonight? Well, preacher, I probably won't be back tonight. I'm telling you, it was at no time that I got a call in the middle of the night. And they said, you need to get to Medical University, South Carolina. Medical University said, Brother Dunn has been in a fire, said his house burnt down. He's been burnt to a crisp. I went down there, got in there, make a long story short. I want to make a long story short. I went in there. There he was. I'm telling you, that man, I don't think I'm exaggerating. That man's head was that big around. His lips was swollen up so big, it was back over his nose. And I asked him what happened. They said, well, in the middle of the night, the house caught on fire. And he said his granddaughter and her little girl and her husband is staying with him. And they said, when he got outside, the granddaughter's husband was out of town. And when he saw the house was on fire, he run out. And when he run out, he started frantically calling for his granddaughter. And she didn't answer. He said, oh, my Lord, my granddaughter and her little baby is in the house. And he run back in the house to get them. But he couldn't find them. And he got burnt to a crisp. Well, just a day or two later, he died. They called me up and said, preacher, your family said, you need to preach the funeral. I said, all right. Well, lo and behold, that ungodly family took the funeral and put it in another church. So I'm preaching that one. And I'm telling you, Brother Claude, I got up to preach. And I'm telling you, it was so bound up tight in that place, I couldn't hardly tell you my name. And so the funeral got over and they went and buried him. Well, a few months later, his granddaughter and her husband was down in Georgia. And they got juiced up one night on dope and liquor, and they was in a nightclub, and they were started telling in a drunken stupor how she killed her granddaddy and set the house on fire to get her granddaddy to go back in there and died. Well, some people in Georgia overheard them and called the authorities. And the authorities called back to Berkeley County, where I'm from, and told the authorities, and they went back down there and picked them up and brought them back to Berkeley County and tried them for first-degree murder. What are you trying to tell that story for, preacher? I'm trying to tell you, I told Brother Dunn, you keep on messing around and God's going to chasten you. I'm telling you what, we've got so flippant in our day, we think we can do God any kind of way we want to do Him. We can pop in, oh, my toe hurts. Oh, there's a bad cloud coming out there. I've had them tell me. I like what that brother read this evening. Dear God, I need to get a copy of that. I see a bad cloud coming up out there, and I declare it might a few drops of rain before I can get back to the house. Well, Jesus went all the way to Calvary. We think we can just be absent, and we can just dress any way we want to, and we just have any kind of attitude we want to. When we sin in the house of God, we mess it up. The subject of sin. Let's stand. Let's pray. Father.